Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, the 11th of April of 2022. And also, I must also say to all of you, welcome to Holy Week here. And you see, for Christians, those of us who are Christians, this is a very important week every year, the Holy Week. And we'll be talking tonight about that, because this is the week that culminates with Easter Sunday. Speaking of Easter Sunday, before I get this out of the way, this is actually something kind of funny, actually, that apparently one of my assistants actually happened to be that her car actually hit, among all things, a bunny rabbit. A bunny rabbit. And then the only funny thing about that just happened, in my mind, just happened to be that it happened, you know, literally like a week and a half or so before Easter. I've actually heard, I don't know if this was true or if it was just something my mom told me when I was little, but there was this person actually that I once met named Bunny. And that part of it is true. But what I don't know if it's true or not is if this person was actually born on Easter Sunday. The truth is, I don't know. But joking aside, whether you believe in the Easter Bunny or not, that is up to you. The truth of the matter is Easter is not specifically about a bunny that lays eggs and gives out candy. And I know some of these people will go all out and go stand in line and get pictures taken with a little bunny. To be honest with you, I always cared more about Santa than I did the Easter Bunny. Were you the same way, Emily?
Yeah.
Like, you just didn't care as much about the Easter Bunny quite, did you?
No,
as for the Easter Bunny, not so much. You just kind of left him alone, more or less.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep your carrot things, you know. The Easter Bunny, to me, though, it's like, but then again, to it, each his own. But you see, this is a powerful week. Easter, along with Good Friday, along with Palm Sunday, along with even weeks beforehand, Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday, is based on the moon closest to Easter. The earlier that moon, certain moon is, the earlier Easter will be. and vice versa. So that is what determines the date of Easter. Obviously, it's known up to 2099, at least 2099 that I know about, when each Easter date is going to be. Example, this year it's Easter's the 17th of April. Last year it was April 4th. Next year it's April 9th. Over the years, there has been discussion mentioned that Easter should be on a certain set date every single year, as far as a certain Sunday, that is. And that date is whenever the second Sunday of April is, which this year would have been yesterday. If someone were to ask me, well, Miracle Man, what do you think about that? I don't. Meaning I don't necessarily have an opinion. And as in a way, I look at it and I say, you know, it might be nice to have it always be at the same week of a year, like the other holidays, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, 4th of July, Memorial Day, like, and obviously different countries, different holiday, but Easter, in a way, it makes sense why it is when it is. Obviously, the reason Easter is on a Sunday is because in the Bible it talks about how on the first day of the week he was resurrected. And Good Friday, it's known that on the sixth day of the week is when he was on the cross for us. And then you had Silent Saturday. But as for Christmas, of course, it doesn't say on what day of the year he was born. It's just the date that's been chosen. And so that's just a bit on that, a bit on this week, a bit on what it's about. And I want to encourage you this week, make it about Jesus. Don't just make it about your own little idea about what it should be or shouldn't be, or or hoogla boogla, or whatever else you might think. So, the plan for tonight is, of course, I'm going to do the announcements before I do any of the other stuff, but we'll do that, and then we'll do a couple songs like we normally do. We'll have a time in the Word about that. Tonight, I want to teach on this. When the blood was shed, what did he buy? What all did all those stripes and all those whips and all the other times when his blood was shed on the cross for us, what all did that buy? Dr. Barclay taught a powerful sermon on this past Thursday night, which made me real honestly and truthfully think about it in ways that he hasn't really, well, at least I don't remember him teaching it this way, that like the first time was for this, the second time was for, the third time was for, the fourth time was for, the fifth time was for, and it was a powerful thing. And so, I'm looking forward to that. And then we also have a baseball update regarding how did the Tigers do? And are there any undefeated teams left in the league? Or not? And we will talk a little bit about that. And say, before we do that, I'm gonna take a quick station ID. I'll be right back in just a quick second, and then we'll get to it. All right, we're back. Now, real quickly, I want to remind you of our two quick announcements real quick. First of all, I want to remind you of our book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how gracious God has been and how Jesus has done so many miracles in my life. It's been incredible in my life. the miracles, the different miracles that Jesus has done. Rivers of Miracles does a great job of chronicalizing that. And it's a great read. I would highly encourage you to please read it. It will build up your faith when you read it. It should. And so we'll believe in God for more and more people to buy that book, to find out about that book and to buy the book and to be touched by the book. And amen. And honestly believe in for many people to read the book, to find out about the book. Amen. 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 You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be put and how you can the great thing was is that the breakthroughs were happening. And when I think of the word breakthrough, you know what that means? Suddenly. Suddenly. It happened. Suddenly. Not necessarily right at the moment you expected it. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be expecting God to move. You should always be expecting. Amen. Now, the other thing I want to remind you about is the PayPal. I want to encourage you that if this has been a blessing into your life, why not go and sow a seed into the Miracle Man program and whenever you sow seed, I always pray over your seed. And I want to see you get blessed. That's why I take this time and mention it to you so that you can receive the blessing of the Lord. Because I want to see you be blessed. I really do. It's not just something that I'm kind of more or less saying. I honestly mean it. And I want to see you blessed. I want to see that happen for you. So go to paypal.com and in the search bar, type in River Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing related to that I want you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So please, 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 please keep that in your mind. Amen, and amen, and amen. And so, the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't say tithe. Didn't say fast and it will be given unto you. Not tithe and it will be given unto you. Not pray and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down. Shaken together. And running over. shall men give unto your bosom. Oh, running over, that means more than enough. That doesn't mean, oh, by the way, just enough. Almost enough. Barely enough. No way. My God is the God of more than enough. The God of heaps. What is heaps? Oh, so much that it has to be piled up. Let me just give you an example. If I go to, we'll say, a McDonald's and I get a big thing of fries, I don't want just, you know, one fry. Or like they only fill up the fry box halfway. I mean, if it comes that way, you know, it is what it is. But you know how I like it? Heaps. You know what heaps mean, Emily? It means they're piled up high. They're piled. They're in a pile. There's nowhere else to put them. Have you ever literally had so many fries in the box at rallies that there were some spilt over in the bag and you couldn't fit them all in the box? Yeah. See, that's what heaps are. Heaps. Heaps. That's what I'm talking about a little bit. And I see the God we serve is the God of heaps, and this is the season of heaps, third month to seventh month. And you know what, folks? And this year, because it's 22, it's the year of the double, which means the heaps for old, the heaps from last year, folks, this year's double heaps. Double heaps. Man, so I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. When I sing that empty grave, celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that pit place, realized meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Yes, endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. what a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious way, what a glorious way. Yeah. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. I will never be the same. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. White as snow, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your love, through the wonder of your blood, through faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow. White as snow, white as snow. So my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your love, through the wonder of your blood. Through faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow, white as snow, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet. Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your love, through the wonder of your blood, through faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow. What can wash me white as, what can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, Lord, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, your word became flesh for my sin and death, for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I counted all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, Lord, lead me to the cross. You were as I, tempted and tried. You went for me. Your blood became flesh for my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Relieve me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, Lord, lead me to the cross. to your heart, to your heart, to your heart, lead me to your heart, to your heart. To your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to the cross where your love poured out, bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down, rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, Lord. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, Lord. Lead me to the cross. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for this Holy Week. That this Holy Week that means so much to us, or it should mean so much to us, because of what you did for us this week, all of these many years ago, and this represents so much to us, so much that you did for us, and thank you, Master, for this week. May we put a greater focus on you than we have before. Thank you, Master, for what this week means so much to us, and we honor you this week. And may we honestly realize what it truly means. Oh, how we love you. And so thank you for our time in the Word tonight. As we are about to open up the scriptures to learn about your word and to learn more about your ways. And I just thank you for that, for what you're doing tonight in each one of our lives. You know what we have need of when we don't. And I thank you that you're meeting every one of the needs represented by all these listeners. And I give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing. Use me tonight as an oracle as I deliver this word unto these people. And Master, I'll make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this wonderful radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. I want you to go with me, please, to the book of Luke 22. I'd like to begin in verse 7. Actually, no. Let's go to verse 17. I'm just making sure so I can start at the right spot. Praise God. So Luke 22:17, NIV. If you got a Bible or device with an app on it, please follow along. I want you to see this for yourself as well, please. After taking the cup, we'll back up to 15 so that we can see. The unleavened bread. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, do it in remembrance of him. In one of the accounts, it says, as often as you do this, as often as you do it, take it in remembrance of him. Verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, this cup is the blood covenant, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is of mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would be. I'm skipping down. I'm skipping down to verse 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, "Oh, watch this now. Pay attention. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, it was the first time that Jesus shed out blood for us. The first time that he shed out blood for us. Right there. Let's keep going. Verse 45. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Verse 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man, who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with the swords?" Not one of them struck the servant of the high priest. Cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." In other words, as people might say, enough, no more. He touched the man's ear, and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and to the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you come at me with swords and clubs? Day after day, I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." I'm turning the page. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter following in a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And the servant girls saw him seated in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another person asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. Then they blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. 64. At daybreak, the council of the elders, you know, the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right when you say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? We've heard it from our own lips, from your own lips." We'll look a little bit more into 23. Then the whole assembly rose, led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He pays taxes to Caesar and claims to be," Pilate asked Jesus, "are you the king of the Jews?" "It is as you say." I'm skipping down some so we can get. We'll start again from 12. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they'd been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and they said to him, "You brought me this man as one of the for inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him, neither has Herod. For he sent him back to us. Just as you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him, and then I will release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with him! Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city, and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The third time he spoke to them, "What has he done? Let's look at the crucifixion now." Verse 26. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, which is on his way in the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed them, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time is coming when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, The woman that never bore, the breast that never nursed. And then I'll say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if we do these things, when the tree is green, will happen when it is dry. And then it talks about how there's one person on his right, another person on his left. Jesus said about these people, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up the lots. And then they're mocking him because they say, if he saved others, why can't he save himself? They gave him wine vinegar and they said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice about him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. It was now about the sixth hour. Darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. So, five different places shed his blood for us. First one is when he shed his blood when he was at Tor, Mount of Olives. As a result of sorrow and distress that he was feeling, and he was praying. He knew that he was going to die. His sweat was of drops of blood falling to the ground. He was just sweating, and the sweat was drops of blood. At that point, he hadn't been beaten yet. The crown of thorns hadn't been laid on his head yet. They weren't, like, flogging him or any of that stuff yet. They were just, all he was doing was praying. And the tears also come out like, the sweat comes out like as drops of blood. And he bought something for us. Free will for us. To do the will of God. Time two. The whipping post. When Jesus was at the whipping post, they weren't just random people whipping him. These were professional whippers. People would literally go there to watch people get whipped, to watch people get whipped, to watch people get crucified. And people on that day would literally go to watch someone like that be crucified and whipped. And when they were hitting him on the back and in other places, blood was coming out. He bought something for us. At the second place that blood came out, you know what he bought for you? Healing in your mind. No, healing for your body. Healing for your body and your mind. Healing. That is where we get the part from. He was bruised for our transgression. Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes. Not stars and broad stripes, or, you know, the American stripes. No, the stripes that were put on him from all the blood that he was shedding, all those beatings, all those lashes. Healing was bought for us. Let's talk about the third time he shed his blood. Crown of thorns. Renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. What's renewing of the mind mean? Oh, yeah. Jesus, you'll want to do the things of God rather than do your own thing. But we have to renew our mind, too, by getting in the Word, getting, and by going to the house of God. That's how we do that. So we've talked about three of these right now. So let's review real quick. Number one, time Jesus sheds his blood, that drops the blood. That was to buy us free will. Number two, healing for our body and our mind. Number three, he shed his blood for our mind to be renewed. Number four, the fourth time was for our salvation and deliverance, so that we could be saved and healed, delivered, sozo. The fifth time that blood was spilt, out by Jesus, here's what it was for. It was for hands and feet. So their hands and feet would not be going to shed in innocent blood, nor would our feet be running to mischief. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination unto him. One of those, two of those have to do with your feet and hands. Hands that shed innocent blood and feet that run to mischief. And part of that fourth one, that is that new heart. New heart. No, not a blood pumper. You say, what about the hands and the feet? Well, that was when Thomas was shown, and the others were shown, the hands and the feet where nails had been put in there. When the nails were put in there, blood was coming out. And obviously they weren't just little fingernails, toenails. Oh, no. And every time that blood was shed, it bought something for us. And then when he died on that cross, that was so we could be free from sin. Not free to sin, like some of these modern day preachers might try to preach. If you're in one of these churches that waters down the Word of God on purpose, And they're just purposely watering it down, and there's no medicine there. And people aren't being set free, delivered, healed, fed the word of God. Get out. Find a church where the actual word of God is preached. Amen. Because this is not a time to be hearing some watered-down message. It's not the time for that. And so you see, there's these and I read to you a lot of the account on what happened, you know, before he died tonight, but I was skipping over certain areas, you know, obviously to save time so I could get to that list that I gave you about the five times that blood was shed. And we should never forget . So if someone asks you, if someone were to ask you specifically, where was it specifically that Jesus shed his blood, that it was specifically for healing, or for a new mind, or like for healing? And you could say, well, that was where he had those stripes placed upon him. And blood was coming out on his back. And when that blood was shed as a result of that, it paid for our healing in our bodies, in our minds. Our bodies and our minds. And then the third time was for, so we could have a new mind. Just giving you examples. And I loved that pastor took the time to explain it the other day in a way that makes sense, in the way he really broke it down. Powerful stuff. And if you're saying, well, Miracle Man, why do you keep bringing up communion at this time? Why do you keep bringing it up? Why do you keep showing the verses about communion? Well, it's an important element. It's a great way to remember. It's a great reminder to us that we have a blood covenant with him. It also makes us really think about the fact that he died on the cross for us, for our sins. That unleavened bread represents the dying on the cross for us. The blood represents the covenant and the things that we bought, he bought for us, including those five things that we talked about tonight. Those wonderful benefits that he paid the price for, we could not pay. He paid the price for our sin. We could not pay that price. We don't deserve the benefits. He did for us what we didn't deserve. That's my Jesus. That's my King. My King who people, whom those people spit on, the one that they said, crucify him. But Scripture said that that had to happen. So that truthfully shouldn't be a surprise. It even said there that Pilate wanted to release Judas, Jesus. People were saying, crucify him. Jesus knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. It said that before all those people came, including Judas, with all the swords and clubs, it said that before that even, that he was going to die. It also said that Peter was going to deny Jesus, and sure enough, he did. Three times. First one is like, do you know? Nope. Second time, the girl, do you know? Nope. Third time, well, weren't you one? Nope. Mr. Crow. Even though he died on the cross for us, he's not dead anymore. He's not in that grave anymore. He's not in that tomb anymore. Because you see, he got up from that grave. He rose from it. Now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And you see, that darkness that came over the land on Friday, between the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and the different things that will have happened on Good Friday throughout the weekend, they have significance to them, including the darkness between the sixth and ninth hour, where the sun stopped shining. And in that time, Jesus is sitting there on that cross, so that's a great time up on Friday, or whatever you're doing, to take a little pause and just think about that. Well, at this point, my Jesus would have been there on that cross. It was dark. Oh, but Sunday morning. Sunday morning, baby, hallelujah. Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, that's not a time to be sad. That's a time to rejoice. Jesus is out of the grave. He's risen. If they look in the tomb, he's not here. He is risen. And those ladies look in the tomb to see, but he's not there. Be talking more about that part of it later in the week as we approach that. And so, thank you, Jesus, for this word. We thank you again, Jesus, for this great week, this great holy week, for what it represents for us, all those things that you did for us. thinking that we'd be able to tell others, those who might ask us questions. Well, you know, what is it that's so, what is it to you that's so special about this Good Friday, per se, or Easter Sunday? What are things about it that make it so special? And thank you that we'll be able to tell these people who ask us that, we'll be able to tell them the true reason as to what it's about and what it means. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. 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 Now, as for sports, before I get into baseball, real quickly, the Pistons locked up quite possibly the first overall pick in the NBA lottery draft again, second time in a row. 23 wins, 59 losses. And part of why they were so bad was they had such a terrible start to the season. After the All-Star break, though, they were near 500. But because they started so awful, that is why their record became so awful. And that was just for me to give you an understanding as to what happened there. Red Wings, yep, another year. Sadly, no playoffs. And they had chances, but then they just kept finding ways to blow games. They only have a few games left. They won't be able to make the playoffs. Maybe next year, boys. Tigers started off the season with the walk-off win on Friday in Detroit. Oh, but then on Saturday and Sunday, the White Sox have other ideas. And their pitcher, who has never lost against the Tigers on Saturday, he goes into Comerica and throws a really good game, and they beat him 5-2. Sunday, the Tigers fall 10-1 after the Tigers get a run in the second inning. And it's like 2-1 Minnesota. I mean, Chicago. But then Chicago blows the thing open in later innings. And so the Tigers fall both Saturday and Sunday. As of today, and throughout all the games of the opening season, opening weekend, there is only one team left in the whole MLB. It is the Tampa Bay Rays, which tells me something. They're good. They are good. And as for the Braves, the World Series champions, they're actually 2-2 because they lost two games to the Reds. Tomorrow in Cincinnati, the Braves will be there for, no, it won't be the Braves. It'll be the Guardians versus the Reds in what I would call a Buckeye Classic between the two teams of different teams of that state to the south. And so it's a young season, so things can change. Hopefully the Tigers' bats can heat up some more and the pitching can improve. And we'll just see what happens. So, until tomorrow night, God first, God always, and so long, everybody, and I will talk to y'all tomorrow night.